Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
What's up, guys? Tells Charles Megan Murray here, and you are listening to Girls Talking Boys in partnership with SB Nation. As always, hello.
Happy Victory Monday, y'all. I am reporting live from New Orleans here with one Catherine Terrell, who is going to talk to us about all the things her team did wrong.
Yes! So many things. So many things they did wrong.
She's here with us from The Athletic, and she keeps it real, so we will do the same.
As you guys probably know, if you follow any of us on Twitter, we have a lot of friends in New Orleans, and for some reason, they still claim us, so God bless them for that.
Would be wrong to do a like podcast in any way talking about the Saints and not have Catherine with us. So
correct!
I basically just like to think of it as I stole all Hellman's friends and adopted, or stole David Hellman's friends and adopted them for myself.
And we're not wrong.
You're not wrong. And in the spirit of transparency, I am definitely making food right now, and my air fryer is going to go off in like 4 minutes. And do you think I'm going to edit that out of the podcast when it beeps? No. So,
but tell us what it is, though. First,
honestly, I'm gonna be. It's really.
Oh,
it don't. Oh, no! It's beeping. Okay, I'm gonna be. No one cares about this. I'm on a beet kick. I don't know what it is.
Beets are disgusting. They're gross.
I'm like, it's very concerning. I'm like, something's wrong with me that I'm like craving a beet salad with goat cheese and like sunflower seeds and chicken. Oh, mute. Hold on.
Yeah, no, beets taste like dirt, and Kelsey's wrong for this.
It's very Dwight Schrute of you.
As someone that comes at people for their food takes, I just can't believe this from you.
I just want to say that speaking of food takes, the other day I was on Twitter, and I don't even know what position he plays, but there's a football player at KU who literally was like on the sidelines, and he's like pubbing freaking Applebee's 2 for $20.
Well, hey, make that money, boy. Like, that's cool.
Applebee's?
That's your new best friend, isn't it?
Let's ride.
We have an ongoing, like, long-term joke about how we all hate Applebee's and Chili's is better, and Kelsey is the complete opposite and like thinks that Applebee's is better than Chili's.
Yeah.
But we do call it, we call it, close your children's ears. We call it shitty bees. And
so wait, clearly the commercial worked on one person.
Yeah.
And that was you. You're their target audience.
Like, I am the target
audience. I love a $1 Long Island iced tea as much as the next gal, but like, no, thank you.
Anyways. All right. So, let's talk about this game from last night, because I need to get y'all's thoughts. As you said, Meg, you're in New Orleans for the game. A little FOMO. I think I'm like the one of our only friends and who didn't go, but
you're missed.
I did see you rocking my Looney Tunes sweatshirt, and I would like to think that had a positive impact on the outcome.
Yeah. I mean, we were joking about how like I refuse to be bad luck, and you were like, just going to take that on yourself. But I think this proves that you're not bad luck and that you're welcome at future games.
Thank you so much.
Also, I got lots of compliments on it. The Looney Tunes sweatshirt, it will be making an appearance on the Instagram, and Kelsey can drop the link.
Holla, holla.
I've gotten like multiple messages about it. So
that's phenomenal. Well, the Cowboys came out of that with a win. And I think that I kind of want to get y'all's thoughts. Like, going into the game, the Saints are just so injury. They're just destroyed right now. Like, their entire lineup. I mean, when you have to revert to Taysom Hill, who's been injured for the last couple of weeks, and then he's your starting quarterback. And we all know that he's kind of more of a utility player, and to even have to be relying on him is a little concerning in general. And then, you know, you have some last minute calls that were made. The Cowboys are just completely decimated when it comes to, like, they're having a COVID outbreak. And I mean, if this week hasn't been surreal for you guys, this thing is still going on, very much strong. So I can't say that I felt definitively like the Cowboys were going to go into New Orleans and leave with a victory, just because there were so many question marks, you know, coming out of all of this. Like, is DeMarcus Lawrence even going to be productive? He's been gone for so long. Same with Amari Cooper. What kind of conditioning is he even going to be in with missing 2 weeks? You don't know what side effects that COVID could leave him with. So I want to get, like, did Kat, what were your thoughts like going in? Like, did you feel like this could be a toss up, or were you just like, no, this Saints team, they're just not firing all cylinders. It's going to be a struggle.
I actually picked the Saints to win. Disclaimer, we had to make our picks on Tuesday, and there, I thought Alvin Kamara was going to be playing at that point. So if you go to The Athletic and look at all the picks, everyone picked the Cowboys except me. So I think I'm about to lose my first place standing in those picks, but, you know, that's okay. I'll take my lumps. But I did think Kamara would have been the I thought maybe the outcome could have been different if Kamara had played. Or I say that was my thought process going in. The Saints are actually very good on defense. I know that people probably have forgotten that in light of their last few weeks, but their offense is just so bad. I mean, it's like watching a preseason game. It is one of the worst offenses I have ever had to cover, and I've covered the league for a while. But with that being said, I did think that they had a chance to win. I think with everything that happened, you know, and Taysom going in with half a foot and then getting injured and having a hurt hand, and, you know, the Saints just aren't good enough to play that type of game and still win.
Can I ask a question? I feel like if you were to look at Taysom Hill objectively, and let's say that he's full health, do you feel like that he is actually like a solid option at quarterback? Or do you just feel like, hey, listen, like, it's just because of the nature of who he is as a player, even without the injury, that you're going to kind of get, it's going to be a little hit or miss?
I was always kind of team Jameis. Even last year when they were going through training camp for the backup competition, I thought Jameis outplayed him. At the time, I didn't know that Sean had already promised the backup job to Taysom. I actually came out of training camp, they announced Taysom was a backup, and I was just sitting there thinking, it's everything I know, like, as an evaluator and someone who's covered the league for a long time, wrong. And then a few months later, he explained the situation. But then, you know, Taysom got a chance to start 4 games, and I thought he did not do enough to prove, hey, I'm supposed to be the starting quarterback going forward. And I think that's why they went and got Winston. I don't really think, for all the talk, that the Saints think Taysom is the quarterback of the future. And I think you saw that last night. Now, I don't know how much the finger affected him. I will say, I mean, having to throw with a splint probably really messes up your throwing velocity. But Taysom never had a big arm before that. Mm-hmm. So I even said last night, I don't know if the outcome would have been different if he hadn't injured his hand. I mean, I think he kind of got desperate in that fourth quarter and just started making horrible decisions. So to me, no, I mean, Hill is not the long-term answer at quarterback. And when you actually look at his contract and how much money he's making going forward, I don't think they think that either.
I say this with authority that I don't have, but, like, I'm just convinced that, like, Sean just loves Taysom, and he's like, I'm going to ride this experiment until it dies.
I do think he loves Taysom. He immediately defended Taysom last night. On that first interception, at the end of the first half, Sean basically blamed Kenny Stills.
What? And then,
yeah, oh yeah, he basically, I mean, I guess he could have caught the ball, but then Taysom came out and essentially goes, well, yeah, that's not what I'm beating myself up for. And I was just thinking, whoa, I think on Monday we're going to get a transaction and Kenny Stills is going to get cut from the way that he's being thrown under the bus right now. I mean, not that Stills has really done anything to, you know, deserve staying on the team, but
do you think Sean
loves Taysom?
Sean and Taysom probably go to dinner like once a week and just like braid each other's hair and stuff. Like, that's the vibe I'm getting.
I think Peyton loves him some Taysom Hill. And also Taysom loves Drew Brees, and they used to spend holidays together. And you know, Sean and Drew love each other. So I just think it's like one big happy family, but I don't think they love Taysom enough to start him next year.
What do you
think they'll start him the rest of the season?
I mean, well, that's the thing. Everyone, I know people were criticizing Peyton when it didn't go well, but anyone who's had to watch Trevor Siemian play for the last four games,
something.
Oh my gosh. It was, the bar has fallen so far. I was like, hey, they got a first down.
As we love to say, points. The bar is on the floor.
Bar's on the floor. It was bad.
The wheels didn't come off till the fourth quarter, though. Usually they come off in the first quarter.
Yeah, I was
quarter,
waiting so. For y'all to make a drive on that. Although I will say my one claim to like fame, not fame, but like my claim of like, I know what I'm talking about this like Cowboys team.
Yes.
Because I turned to JJ, who's sitting here, just always listening to me talk crap. But I turned to him and I was like, they are going to give up another touchdown. And they did. And I was like, they always do this, whether it's garbage, complete garbage time, or whether it's they're letting somebody back in. It just, they always find a way to make it look like they didn't win as like convincingly as they did when it comes to a team like the Saints.
Yeah.
Falcons, not so much.
On the other hand, the Saints only score in the fourth quarter. So, you know, they do the opposite.
He gashed them for what was it, 70 yards?
70. God. So, by the way, like to Saints fans, I called out the parting gift from Deontay Harris because he's about to get suspended for three games.
Uh-oh.
So, he scores a 70 yard touchdown with 2 minutes left in the game. And I just felt like it was a very nice send off to his looming suspension.
Oh, how nice of him. That's the one.
Yeah, that's what Saints fans get to look forward to this year.
God, that's so brutal. Like, what I want to get like what you felt like were the key takeaways from the game, because you know I have my list. I have like my pros and cons. I'm obviously excited for this win. I'm really excited for Dan Quinn. I think that was a massive victory, you know, just morally for him. And I think that was cool to see if you're into the sentimental things. Micah Parsons is insane. Trayvon Diggs is insane.
He's a freak.
The DeMarcus Lawrence coming back and it honestly being disruptive, and then having our three wide receivers on the field at the same time. Like, those are all pros in my mind. I will say I'm a little worried about the run game and just how non-productive Zeke's been able to be. And obviously he's beat up. We talk a lot about this. I think you mentioned it too. It's at this point in the season, you've heard this word thrown around so much, like it's a game of attrition, you know? So, and if that wasn't the storyline for this week, I don't know what is. But I want to get your thoughts, you know, KT and Meg, obviously you guys were there. Like, what were some big moments that you felt like just were really swinging the momentum towards the Cowboys, where the Saints just couldn't get it over the edge again?
I think that Parsons sack at the beginning of the fourth quarter was just the beginning of the end. I mean, first of all, Parsons is a phenomenal athlete, and everyone around me that was sitting next to me just kept saying that over and over during the game. It's just what a good player he is. Not that people don't know that already, but I mean, it set the tone for the fourth quarter. Like, absolutely. You know, I felt like the Saints still had a chance at that point if they could just put together some drive. And then that sack, which lost them 11 yards. And then I say got them out of field goal range, but they're probably already out of field goal range already. Rough times over here. And they just couldn't do anything after that. It's just like the wind had been taken out of their sails, and it was done. I mean, because the next three drives, I think, were turnovers.
Yeah.
So that was a great fourth quarter for the Cowboys. But, you know, I mean, I think, again, the Saints do have a very good run defense, and, you know, Zeke is hurt, so I wouldn't be worried about that. But the fact that Hill was able to run for over 100 yards, probably concerning, but, you know, the Saints can't really defend against a mobile quarterback either. So those things do happen.
Yeah. I really do feel like we needed this win just because of the trajectory of the season. And again, like the moral victories that were involved, but it was pretty sloppy overall. Dak didn't play that well. Honestly, he wasn't great. Like I mentioned, like I think really the credit does have to go to this defense. And that to me as a Cowboys fan is a really weird place to be like, oh, the defense is what's going to help us win this game. Like, how long has it been since, I don't know, since DeMarcus Ware was with this team that we felt like we were able to rely on the defense to actually impact and change things? Like, it was just, it's a new normal. I don't hate it, but it's very shocking to me still.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Yeah, it's something that I don't know when I will, when I don't, I'm scared to get used to it, I think, is the problem. I'm like,
you have trust issues.
Good. Like this could be a thing. But like, just watch next year. Like, I don't know what's going to happen. So I'll enjoy it while I can, but all that to say, they really did made a crazy impact. Dan Quinn is just like really good at empowering his players to just always be looking for a way to create a turnover, to create chaos. And like you could see that from the way that like Carlos Watkins was just like looking for that ball. He was like, yeah, baby, big boy touchdown. Let's go.
Big six. When I tell you play the game, I lost my mind. I was like, yeah. This is it. This is all I need.
Like I couldn't even totally tell what was happening, cause it was on the other side of the field at the time. I was like, oh, what? And like, everyone was quiet. And I was like, oh, that means I get to be loud. Let's go.
By the way, Cowboys fans were so loud last night.
Yeah.
In the fourth quarter, I looked at someone and I said, did all the Saints fans leave, or did they really just bring that many people? Because it was the Cowboys cheer was the only thing you could hear at that point.
Yeah, it was hard to like yell over. Saints fans were really loud for a long time, but it was hard to yell over. Quarter. But like once, I think it was like the Coop catch when everyone was like, oh, we're out here. Okay, let's get loud.
Yeah, that's not something I heard in the Dome in a long time. I think it just kind of goes to show you how things have changed, like for the Saints' fortunes and the Cowboys too this year. And, you know, the Saints have not lost five in a row since before Sean Payton. So people aren't used to that. So as someone who's covered this team a long time, I was like, whoa, this is new. I haven't heard this happen in New Orleans in a long, long time.
So that is a good point, because I think that for me, even despite the fact that the Saints were decimated, I look at Sean Payton, and when you have a coach like that on your sideline, you're, in my personal opinion, you're never out of the game. You know, he's just a freak. He's a brilliant football mind. And like, you can hate him all you want. You must respect him. He kind of reminds me of like the guys like the Sabins, the Belichicks, who just are just, they just give you that competitive edge, and you either love them or you hate them. And like, that's fine, but you must respect them.
Yeah, I mean, he's such a brilliant offensive mind, and he's not going to get enough credit for this year and what they've gone through. But I don't really know any coach that could win with, you know, this group of wide receivers and this many people hurt. I mean, both four out of your five offensive linemen, you're on your third quarterback, your star running back is hurt. You have no receivers. Even that was a problem, you know, before the season. Your star receiver just decides he's not getting surgery till the summer and doesn't play. I mean, so yeah, I think when the season's over, maybe people will look back and say, you know, I don't know that Peyton got enough credit for still keeping the team competitive for the most part, despite everything that's happened this year, you know, a month on the road, they didn't even have a home game till October.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, he's definitely, like you said, I feel like with Peyton as a coach, you know, they always have a chance, but it's a big transition year without Drew Brees. And I think everyone knew that was going to be a possibility. Or they knew and they forgot. That's how fans usually go. You get like a week where you're like, oh, it's going to be a hard year. And then the next week you want to fire the coach. But
And I think it's also a little bit of like looking over at the Patriots and being like, well, they don't have Tom and they're doing well.
But they struggled the year after he left too. And it was the same thing. People questioning, is it Belichick or Brady? And like, why can't it just, why can't it just be both? You know, the Patriots now have a good quarterback or a promising quarterback, and they're right back in that. This is so no Mac team wins without a quarterback. You just can't.
Right.
I mean, I don't know.
It's not
hard. I don't know. Right. I have good examples of things to counteract what I'm saying, that a team that won was just a terrible quarterback, but.
Well, let me ask you.
I can't think of one.
Yeah, you at least need like a mediocre one.
Yeah. You need a bus driver. You need a bus driver at minimum.
Right. And the Saints were still winning when they had Jameis Winston. And, you know, I don't know if he's the answer in the future, but you need someone that's just okay, at least.
Yeah.
Bare minimum. But the standards are low over here now.
Like, the bar is on the floor. Low standards. What we're trying to tell you over and over again. So I actually want to ask you, though, because I feel like, again, like we've talked a lot about like what this, you know, team came into the game with or lack thereof in terms of personnel. Do you credit this Cowboys win more to the fact that they were decimated, the Saints were, or do you feel like this Cowboys team in general maybe truly is the real deal and they're able to fight through adversity? Like, what if you had to kind of err on one of the two sides, like, do you have an opinion?
Well, I mean, it's a game that I've looked at as a tough game from the beginning of the season. I don't think people realize how hard it is to go through like the week that the Cowboys have been through and still win, because it happened to the Saints and they were horrible.
And you were here in Dallas.
Right. Like, I mean, granted, the Saints had a lot of injuries that week, but they were just horrible, horrible, horrible against the Panthers. And it's really hard to do that when your whole team is in disarray. Your best players are hurt. I mean, so I always say like a win is a win. I mean, the Cowboys should get credit just for, you know, keeping like for winning this week and keep going, because I mean, all of that is so hard to do. It's so hard to win the NFL. I know that's a cliche, but I do think this Cowboys team is very good. I know their offense has their issues, but you know, that can be corrected if you can keep your players healthy. I mean, that's the biggest thing at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually, it's funny you mentioned the Saints went through something similar. So when the Saints had to evacuate from New Orleans, what was it, August?
Oh yeah, it was the end of August.
Yeah. So you actually came up here with the team and we got to see you for a while, which was the greatest time ever. But they had a similar problem and a bit of an outbreak. And I feel like you add the hurricane on top of it, so it's a little bit different, but it is interesting to think about the, you know, the dichotomy between the two and the similarities and like what you said, they had to overcome. Like, it's no small feat to go into a game without your head coach, with literally without your head coach. You know, Zoom is one thing, thank God for technology, but like, what a trip this week and this stretch has been for this team.
I will say it was nice to have like someone like Dan Quinn able to step in.
Yeah.
Obviously he has the experience. He was just being such a little cutie pie. Is that just me?
No, I honestly.
He's hugging all his players after the game. And I was just like, this gets me so excited.
He belongs in the sidelines again. Yeah. I'll be honest with you. Like,
and a coach with a backwards hat, like.
I want to be friends with him. I want to be friends with him. And I'm he's just.
We're available for friendship. Yes. Sir.
Swag Daddy Dan fans unite.
Yes.
Okay, so Cowboys, real deal, fought through adversity. They'll get some reinforcements back. That's all great. They've got a 10-day stretch before their next game.
Is it just me, or did you kind of, like, notice, like, all that wide receiver core missing Cedric Wilson was a thing for me?
Really?
Yeah. I feel like when they're all together, like, that's the magic potion right there.
I mean, you had Noah Brown.
I know.
But I know what you mean. I think it's an interesting, I think that it's a funny place to be when you have such depth. We've said it before across the field for this team.
Yeah.
Tony Pollard and Zeke, they are different styles of backs, but TP is your number one running back on another team.
And 100%.
Michael Gallup is not your number three on another team. And I just think that's a really unique an exciting place to be. Dare I go? Oh, I hate this reference I'm about to make. Oh no. For the record, I hate Kentucky basketball. Okay. Calipari is garbage. trash human being. But oh my God, I hate myself so much. Maybe I'll delete this part. It's like platooning. Remember when he said that? He was like, platooning is like our strategy. That's what it feels like, where, you know, it's the next man up, and the next man up, the drop off isn't that drastic. And that to me is truly the name of the game at this point in the season. And they've got a bunch of divisional games. Obviously you have Arizona. That's going to be a definite challenge, but yeah, I mean, I think that's going to be massive for this team. Oh, there we are. I froze. Okay.
Yeah.
We're back. We're not editing that out.
That's fine. My point, though, was I'm not sure what you said. So this might be a discombobulated mess.
I actually hope it is.
So my point being, like, a fully healthy Amari Cooper, which we didn't quite have because he wasn't really in on every, you know, snap and all that
right.
good stuff. But a fully healthy Amari Cooper, a CeeDee Lamb, Michael Gallup, and like Cedric Wilson.
Yep.
Like, give me that all day.
All day.
No offense to Noah Brown, like swap them out. But that's my
yes.
That's what I want. That's all I want.
All right. So I like to, now that we've given you some hashtag analysis, I would personally like to get some, you, since you were at the game, JJ, you guys may not know JJ Jacobs. He's our dear friend. Megan took him on a mini tour of New Orleans. And you guys are staying there for a couple more days. So A, I need to hear about JJ, your experience, and B, from you guys, what's on tap? Like, if someone's still in New Orleans, do they have a couple things they need to do? Like, and what does a Cowboys fan do in, I almost said NOLA. I'm going to go jump off this balcony before I do that. New Orleans.
You can say NOLA. I'll allow it.
Just don't say Nala.
I'm literally just about to say that. Nobody calls it that.
Do not say that.
Do not.
That's like calling San Francisco San Fran.
All I know is that I was getting pictures of hand grenades at like 11 a.m. And I was like, oh boy, kickoff is not for another 8 hours, my friends.
Hey, we made it all the way through the game and back. So don't you worry. It's so called a water alarm every hour.
Oh. Meanwhile, I was drinking coffee at like 2 p.m. because of the night before in New Orleans. So I was not drinking hand grenades yesterday.
Yeah, how was a hand grenade?
Oh, good. I get to talk. New Orleans was a blast. I've never been here before. And in fact, this is actually my first road game as a Cowboy fan. I've only been to Cowboy games in either the old stadium or AT&T. So this was really cool to get to go to New Orleans, to get to see the fans, to get to see the excitement, and then crush their hopes and dreams, which was great. As far as the rest of the weekend, I'm trying to talk them into maybe doing a museum tour while we sober up today. And then Saturday is College Football Saturday.
So,
Can
I
sober up? It's Friday.
Is my name drop where I think you guys might be?
Wait, what?
Can I name drop where I think you guys might be come Saturday?
Yes.
Cooter Browns.
Hell yeah.
I tried to get them to go there yesterday.
What?
You know I love Cooter Browns. You know I love a bar with no windows.
Absolutely.
That's how you know it's
good. No windows, good vibes, lots of televisions.
That's where it's at. Cooter Browns. If y'all are ever in New Orleans, like literally the greatest bar of all time.
Ian Kelsey watched Tony Romo's last game there.
We did. Do I remember it? Slightly.
It wasn't very memorable.
It wasn't. Lots of tears. Amazing. Well, all right, guys. Well, thanks so much for joining us. We do appreciate you taking the time. JJ, do you have any final words on your first road trip victory? I feel like you might have to go on all the road trips now since you might just be the lucky, I don't even know.
Road trip guy.
Yeah.
I am 4-1 this season in person.
Are you?
One of those was Hellman's treat on my birthday against the Falcons. So if anyone would like to donate tickets to our record, I'll take them.
Yeah, we're opening. This is a GoFundMe for us, funding us to go to games.
Yes.
I like that idea.
Yeah, perfect. Maybe not a GoFundMe. What's the one? A Kickstarter. a little less charitable.
But then you got to give them something in return. Like they'd have to be able to hang out.
We're giving you a victory.
I will, give them something.
I'll put a GoPro on his head. That's fair. And then you can see what he does the whole day. And amazing. Count his beers.
Amazing. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for hanging out with us. Kat, I just feel like there's a lot going on in New Orleans with this Saints team. Where can the people follow you for just this roller coaster ride of a team, but also your breakdown of what went down? She's a great follow. Plus, if you want to have some occasional David Hellman roasts, she's good for those too.
She's also watching The Sopranos. So
I've actually just finished The Sopranos, but you can follow my work at The Athletic. Please subscribe to keep me employed.
Yes.
Or you can follow me on Twitter.
Guys,
as I said,
it's less than a cup of coffee a month. You can't afford not to.
That is the most cliche thing that we say, but it's true. So follow me at The Athletic or on my Twitter at @Kat_Terrell. It's actually a really good time to follow me because LSU season just ended. So you don't have to sit through my LSU tweets every Saturday night about how awful they are.
They're kind of fun though.
I mean, between if you follow me and Hellman and you have our notifications on, I'm sure it's just a treat all day long.
Well, there's still a bowl game to look forward to. So.
That's true. I can't wait. Shreveport in December. It's going to be a time.
Swap kitty season. All right. You guys should also hang out with JJ too. He's fun. He's on Instagram. I don't know if he knows that I'm telling people where to find him, but he's a JJHawk737 on the Gram. He's good for a good time. And also, like you said, donate your tickets to him for victory. you can follow me if you dare. I'm on Twitter at @Kelsey_Charles. I'm also on Instagram at @HeyKelseyCharles. And Megan is
at Meg Murray with 4 R's on everything.
Guys, we really do appreciate you guys tuning in and subscribing wherever you get your podcast, whether it's Spotify, Apple, iTunes, or Stitcher. No idea if I already said that. I might have. But I know we played the Saints. There's some words that we have to make sure we continue to leave you with, though, Megan.
Especially going into DC this upcoming weekend. I need you guys to know. Dallas forever, Philly for never. DC can also kiss these hands.
Goodbye.